Thanks for listening to the Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weeknight, 10 p.m. to 2 a.m. Eastern, 7 to 11 p.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. Find your local station for the Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every night on the iHeartRadio app by searching FSR.
Now let's get this party started.
You're listening to Fox Sports Radio.
Greetings. Welcome in. Hour three of the program.
Second half
begins here. Fox Sports Radio, the Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon. And Arnie Spanier, the stinking genius himself, in for Jason Smith tonight. You hear him across these airwaves throughout the week. You hear him on Sunday nights alongside Plank as they go verbally sparring for several hours. A lot of Oklahoma talk. A lot of Raiders apologists that you have to put up with.
You getting ready for the Super Bowl out there or what, my friend?
Huh? Are you coming?
No, I was supposed to come this weekend, actually.
Yeah. And yeah, now you're snowed in?
No,
frozen in?
I was going to meet some buddies out in Las Vegas Thursday through Sunday, fly in Sunday morning, do the show. But as we had eight buddies that we're going to meet, later in the week, it got down to three.
Whoa.
So people back it out. So we're going to have to reschedule and, when we can all get together. So I'm hoping for April or something. But, yeah, I was supposed to come this weekend.
Still could. I mean, Vegas ain't closing just because some of your jackass buddies ain't showing up.
Exactly. Do you know how tough it is to get from Vermont to L.A., man?
I understand.
You know, people like, it's only a five-hour trip. Yeah. It's like 5 hours by telephone is what it is from Vermont to L.A.
Yeah, but in the end, as like whenever I see travel complaints from any of our brethren in the media, right, covering games or whatever, I immediately have to do everything I can to restrain myself from replying with, then rent a bleeping car. See how long it takes you.
How was your trip to New York?
It was perfect. I mean, yeah, we've teased it before. Everything went well from L.A. to New York. No delays, no problems. Got out on time. Yeah, it was.
No long lines to get on, through TSA or anything like that?
No, we skated straight through. So I probably used up all my travel karma for the next 5 years. Because brilliant on the way out there. And the quick skinny, because people have seen the headlines and everything about New York State and process. We certainly have talked about it a lot in terms of mandates and procedures because of Kyrie Irving, amongst other stories. So we had good fortune. We stayed at a hotel near the theater district, right? That took my daughters.
Look
and
at you.
We went down towards. I mean, we were literally just like a 2-block walk from the theaters we had tickets for.
You're so sophisticated.
I try to be. I've got great dichotomy because I will watch the worst of lowbrow humor. I mean, I went to see Scream last week with one of my daughters, and one of the previews was for the new Jackass movie. Okay. And out of all the previews, including the Batman, I was most excited about the Jackass movie. Meanwhile, it's like, all right, what kind of theater can we go attend this grand evening? Now, we're suckers for musicals. One of them that we wanted to see had an outbreak about 2 weeks before we were coming.
Ooh,
so we knew
that's too bad.
So we knew that date was off, but unfortunately that was the one that we really were waiting on because it's not touring yet. It's called Six. It's based on the wives of Henry VIII.
What
like
is
with like
wrong?
A rock
that's
star
too,
kind
so
of
much,
thing.
Too much sophistication. Stop.
Well,
it.
So no, but it's like a pop star kind of the soundtrack is phenomenal. We've had it forever. We had these tickets, and we now lost.
You're seeing
that
plays
opportunity twice.
And my favorite movie is Animal House. We're two.
No, that's fine. So we ended up replacing that with Wicked, which was fine, which I'd never seen. It was incredible. We enjoyed ourselves. Saw a showing of Dear Evan Hansen the second night, and the third night we went and saw an off Broadway run of Little Shop of Horrors, which was
my 3 days would have been first night I'm going to a Knicks game, second night I'm going to a Nets game, third night I'm going to a Rangers game, something like that. You
know? Well, if I could have forced my daughter's hands on such like that, maybe we would have gone that route.
Go to the Museum of Natural History. Did you
go
there?
We went there. We went to two bookstores that were like 30 miles worth of books and hung out there.
Wow.
We went to another art museum. I actually bought the book that tells me all about the paintings. I mean, at one point, we were in a room that had a Monet, a Manet.
Wow.
There were two others. There was a Rembrandt and one other. And it's like in this room. And the girls were like, there's more security here. I'm like, look at the names on the walls.
Yeah.
Look at the plaques.
The point
to get to in terms of safety was, you know, there were COVID testing trucks on pretty much every corner, right?
Because
it's a requirement for employment in a lot of those buildings, you know, to get your negative tests. And then even in the theater, while the play, you know, musicals were going on and they were coming up and down the aisles, making sure your masks are still on.
Really?
Every restaurant we went to, they made you show your ID and your vaccination card. We went to Sardi's, memorialized forever in that famous Seinfeld episode where Kramer gets a Tony Award. They had, did a little tribute there. But we had a little bit of travel issue, which cost us maybe about an hour and a half on the way back. But we were better off than the people at the next gate because they were delayed 8 hours.
Wow.
So
suffice to say,
we got lucky.
You did. You used up all your karma. Welcome to the East Coast, my friend.
Well, that's it. So it's good that I don't have to travel for any Super Bowl events except to sit on the 405 in traffic.
That's murder. That's just murderous.
Well, it's okay. We'll be ready for it. It's, you know, the beauty of the work from a home mobile Fox Sports Radio studios have been very kind to us. So it's a beautiful thing in that regard that I don't have to sit and lose my mind in traffic on a daily basis. That's for sure. Hey, speaking of sitting in traffic and having some issues with your car, you dealing with a dead battery? Well, you can head to AutoZone, America's number one battery destination. They offer free battery services like free battery testing, free battery charging. The free battery testing can help you know if you need a new battery or not. If you do happen to need a new replacement battery, they can help with that too. They've got reliable replacement batteries starting at just $79.99, and they're the only place you can find proven tough Duralast batteries. So next time you're having battery trouble, get head to AutoZone, your battery solution and America's number one battery destination. Arnie, the Lakers are the headliners in the association, as it were. A lot of being made of Frank Vogel and the benching of Russell Westbrook. We talked about it a little bit earlier in the show. Right, wrong. Some of it is the old the adage of the FDR days of, hey, do something even if it's wrong. You got to try something to try to spark your team. Or maybe you've just said, all right, I'm tired of all the rumors. I know what's going on here, and I'm going to be the fall guy. So if I'm going to do this, I'm going to make an example of things. Probably not the best of ways to do it, and
certainly
a good way to alienate some fraction of your roster. I know in the postgame pressers, LeBron James asked, you know, how Russ would have felt about these things since Westbrook left without meeting the media, and he just said, have you ever watched Russ? Been around the league a long time. You ever seen Russ? How do you think he feels? Which is great. I like when guys give that kind of answer. Likewise, you know, Frank Vogel, when he was asked why Westbrook wasn't on the court, well, I put the head guys on the court to help us win.
You're talking about the game against Indiana, right? The team that was 0-19 when trailing at the half, and now they're 1-19. Let me tell you something. He made a huge mistake here. I can't believe, and I know it hasn't worked out with Westbrook, but to think that you're a better team and have a better chance to win, forget about your last name. You have a better chance to win without a guy that gives you 18.5 points a game, about 8 rebounds, and about 8 assists. And you're saying, no, I'm going to put you on the bench because I can't use you. That's just ridiculous because the guy has missed shots. He doesn't have a great shooting percentage. I think it's just too much picking on Russell Westbrook. But really the whole thing is to think that you're a better team in the last 3 minutes of a basketball game, having one of your top scorers and your top rebounder and assist out of the game, that's just stupidity. And I don't know what you're trying to prove, but that's just not the way to do it. Certainly, there's got to be somewhere you could put him on the court because he's certainly one of your best five.
Well, you start going down, right, between Monk and Reeves and guys, you know, Johnson, you've gotten some minutes from, Carmelo Anthony, who's been a pleasant surprise, a guy once, you know, lost and left for dead in terms of his NBA
first time he
career.
Plays defense, well, yeah, the last time he played, but, he will be the first time. But
that goes to the team as a whole, right? Because that's Frank Vogel's reputation. Right now you got a team. And this was before the season, right? I think a lot of folks were raising their hand going, can you really run this squad out and think you've got enough defensive wherewithal to win consistently, let alone the age, injuries, all those things, which are all guesses based on actuarial tables more than just, you know, something you can plug in saying, hey, this guy's going to miss X games.
I'm
right?
asking
which
you.
Which is what everybody wants to do.
Who's to blame? Who are you pointing? You're pointing at Jeannie Buss, Pelinka, LeBron, Anthony Davis for being out so much. Who are you pointing the finger at? Who's to blame here?
Well, the Anthony Davis is always question, you know, a good question of, you know, how long you're going to be out, and could you gut out some of these injuries, right, to get back on the court? I mean, I don't know.
Well,
I don't know the man's
for the playoffs,
pain.
So,
right?
Yeah.
No, but that's the other part that's at play with the Lakers, right? Is that as long as you get to the playoffs, if I'm in a series, and I've been saying this all along, Arnie, I get to a series, then I think I at least may have a puncher's chance with this squad. Right, short. You're going to have shorter rotations. You're not doing all the travel.
Right,
all
right.
of these things. It's same.
No
back to back
or anything like
right,
that.
Right, all of those things. Suddenly, you know, when you look at LeBron James and assuming Anthony Davis is there with Westbrook and the rest of these guys, then all of a sudden you're saying, "All right,
why Westbrook?
In a
you told me you're a better team without him. Why put him on the court?"
Who said that?
The coach did. That's
the coach did. I thought you were asking me. I'm like, when did I say this? Are you in an alternate universe with me?
No, coach did, though.
No, but now the question is, are you stuck? Right? Can you get – if you really have decided that this is done with Westbrook – because, look, everybody has a little bit to blame at this point. Right? With Vogel, if he's throwing his hands up saying, I'm done – okay, that's one thing. If his hands are being forced, because one of the headlines was he got the green light to be able to pull Westbrook down the stretch. I'm like, what the hell are we doing here? We're playing red light, green light with an NBA coach who won a title 2 years ago to say, all right, well, I guess we're at that point in the season.
Squid Games?
You do what you want. Wow.
Let me ask you this. If you're Russell Westbrook, and you were so mad because you left so early, I would have called my agent. Not only would I have said I want to get out of here, I would have said get me a trade to the Clippers. So when you know, when they get healthy next year, then we'll really be ready to go, and I still get to stay in L.A. Obviously, that will never happen, but that's what I would have said, you know?
Be sure to catch live editions of The Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon weekdays at 10 p.m. Eastern, 7 p.m. Pacific.
Mic check. Mic check.
If you want exclusive insight from the biggest names in the sports game, what's good? This is national champion and former pro baller Chris Johnson. And let me tell you a little bit about my new series, KJ Live.
KJ Live is the only show featuring me going one-on-one with the brightest basketball minds on the planet to get the real.
And when I say real, I mean that real. I got legendary Hall of Famers, elite coaches, and the top basketball insiders bringing you a unique perspective on all things hoops culture that you will not find anywhere else.
To make your next move your best move.
And tap in with me on KJ Live, wherever you get your podcast from.
Welcome back in. It's Fox Sports Radio, the Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon here. Arnie Spanier in for Jason tonight. In theory, Smith will be back tomorrow. I don't know what movies are premiering or any of that, Arnie. So keep the phone on.
What do you think? Call in sick tomorrow? Is that what you're saying?
I don't know. I'm not trying to be predictive. You know, we make a lot of picks for games and stuff. The day-to-day whereabouts and physical and mental well-being of Jason Smith, I can't always account for.
Maybe you the never meat know guy. That guy's going to show up or not.
Well, I mean, it opens opportunities for me to get a chance to talk to you, yell at you, get some of my, you know, angst off my chest, which is always good. Not that I don't yell at him a bunch. Don't get me wrong. Joining us now, as he does each and every week here at Fox Sports Radio, you see him on FS1. On the Ball podcast with Rick Bucher, the No Filter Network ambassador. He's a part-time pianist now, and he's three people away from following 500. Maybe I could be one of those guys. At Rick Bucher on Twitter, RICBUCHER. Hi, Rick.
Gentlemen, how are we? Were you playing the theme music again, hoping that it would be like the bat signal and that I would respond? Was that the...
Oh, well, I think that's sometimes how you have to do it, right? Just kind of throw that up, lob it up into the sky, maybe shoot up a flare. I don't know.
Yeah, Well, it worked because here I am. And how are we?
We're dominating, right? Smith's off tonight, so the stinking genius himself,
yes,
Arnie Spanier, in this evening for him. Rick, I know you're on vacation. Got some rest, ready for the madness that's now ensuing in Los Angeles and perhaps other cities soon?
Yeah. You know what? You guys are like the Indiana Pacers right now against the Warriors. Nobody expecting you to dominate, and yet here you are just taking over the airwaves. I like it. I like it. Yeah.
Well, that's it.
Yeah, I don't know what is going to – I don't know how electric this trade deadline is going to be, but certainly if the Lakers being interesting is the pulse of the league, and I dare say that the league is better anytime the Lakers are interesting – then this should be an eventful couple of weeks as they hit the road with Frank Vogel hitting refresh every 30 seconds to find out if he still has a job.
Yeah, you know, Rick, back up a little bit. First, talk about the last 3-plus minutes, the last 3:30 when he didn't play Westbrook. I thought that's asinine. You're going to tell me, forget about the last game. There's no room on the basketball court in the last 3 minutes of a game for a guy that gives you 18.5 points a game, 8 rebounds, 8 assists. I think they're picking on Westbrook too much. Like, all of a sudden, if you traded him, the Lakers are going to be championship contenders.
Yeah, no, I agree with that last part. I agree with the... You know, that Russell Westbrook, Russell and Frank are getting way too much blame for what's going on with this team. And the idea that he wasn't playing well defensively, nobody on that team was playing well defensively, including LeBron James. Scored 30 points and had a team worst plus minus of minus 20. That's hard to do when you're on the floor scoring 30.
Sure.
And you're going to give up 50 during that time, which is essentially how that math works. So, this is the struggle right now, and it's come to light. And this is for any coach in terms of who they're playing and who they're not playing. This idea that unilaterally they play whoever they want and they're changing things up simply isn't the case. Any rotation that is set, the front office has input. Now, more or less, but Steve Kerr, when he is setting his rotation for a game, if he's planning on playing Jonathan Kuminga or starting Jonathan Kuminga, there's a conversation that is had not just with Bob Myers, but probably with Steve Kerr and the other leaders on that team in terms of what do you guys think? And so Frank Vogel is not making any decisions in a vacuum, and now that we know that Kurt Rambis is in the coaches' meetings, it tells me that there's probably a heavier hand being placed on what's being done by the front office than even normal, and that's where it becomes difficult when you're a head coach. So the thing I don't know is, did he bench Russ Westbrook for the final 3 minutes and 50 seconds because he just decided he wanted to make a statement? Or was he being told that, look, Russ doesn't have it going on, your job's at stake, you need to sit him, regardless of what concern you might have of what that does to your locker room? I don't know. I just know there's a lot of dynamics with this team that a lot of people are having input on it. And it's basically, at the end of the day, it's a puzzle where the pieces do not fit together. So no matter who's making the decisions, it's not as if you change a decision maker and it's going to make this team appreciably better. I think we're a half of we're 41 games into the season. By now we know what works and what doesn't work. And it's pretty clear that this Lakers iteration does not work.
Well, it's funny because when we were talking about coming into the season, Rick, you know, you'd expressed concerns, and I think it was something that we'd heard a lot when we talk about age and availability, etc. I just keep wondering if they somehow can limp through, you know, in a series. Are they a different animal in any way, shape, or form? Is this a product of a regular season that this doesn't work as poorly as it is? Or in a series, are they appreciably better?
It's a great question, and I will tell you that I actually have a piece coming out on FoxSports.com tomorrow about the contenders in in the league. And while certainly no one is talking about the Lakers as a contender in the same context that they do the Warriors, the Suns, and the Bucks, I had a couple of GMs and a scout say to me, you know, I know they're awful, but I can't completely close the door on the Lakers if they end up in the playoffs because of LeBron James, because the game slows down, because of all the collective veteran experience that they have, that once you get to a short runway, a little bit like going into the bubble, it suddenly changes. And they'll be playing potentially, you know, not expecting that they're going to be at the top of the table. They're going to be playing against a team that has a tremendous amount of pressure on it because of the regular season, a little bit like the Utah Jazz last year. You know, as a series goes, if they're not dominating the way they did in the regular season, then suddenly the pressure heightens because they're not living up to what everybody expected them to be. In a way, that's the beauty of what's happening with the Lakers, is that they are reducing expectations by the hour. And so if they do happen to sneak into the playoffs, I don't know that there's going to be this great anticipation that they're suddenly going to make a run, and that allows them to play sort of free and easy and puts the pressure elsewhere. Now, so I'm not saying that's going to happen. I have my doubts that, especially when the issues are defensively, that they can suddenly collectively play at the level that they have to in order to be a really good defensive team, particularly with the age and the history of Carmelo Anthony not being a great defender, Russ Westbrook not being a great defender, you know, go down the line, LeBron James no longer being a great defender by any stretch. Like, who's going to defend? Who's going to raise their game? So it's a fair point you make, and there's still people that are looking through the keyhole and saying, yeah, you know, it's not – if they just get there, then who knows? And let's face it, with the West, getting there is not going to be that difficult, because a lot of the teams that you normally expect to be there, the San Antonios and the Trailblazers, they're not – you know, they're not in the mix this year. Yeah, so yeah. I'm not betting on it, but there are people out there that are not closing the door. You can still find odds. Let's put it that way. They are long odds, but you can still find them.
Rick, if you're going to give me odds, and everybody's talking about this, well, let them get Simmons. I don't know what they've got to give up Simmons. Yeah. I don't know if Simmons is the answer. I mean, it's great sports talk radio BS and fans BS out there, but I mean, is there any legitimate
chance? Arnie, we're on sports talk radio. So go.
Yeah. Well, considering the offers that Daryl Morey has already turned down, and what he is looking for, which is a bona fide go-to guy,
right?
Who on the Lakers fits that?
Right.
Fits that description other than LeBron James?
Well, you can ask for what you want there. You know, people in hell want ice water, but if nobody's paying that price, my friend, you know.
Yeah, but at the same time, if I am going to – I mean, look, here's the thing. I really believe that Daryl Morey looks at it and is thinking, look, if I don't get it this season, I will wait till the offseason. I mean, he's waited this long.
Right.
The idea that he feels some sort of pressure to have to get something done. If ownership is saying, you don't – you know, hey, wait until you get the deal that you want, and that, by all measure, that seems to be what they are saying – then I think that's what Daryl Morey is going to do. And so I honestly, as I look at things and talking to people around the league, now something can change at any minute. But as of right now, I'm not expecting that Ben Simmons is going to get moved during the season. I think it makes far more sense for what Daryl Morey wants and for how long he's waited that he waits now until the off season when everybody starts to look at their teams and wants to hit the reset button for what they're going to be next year.
I would have liked to have seen Joel Embiid with a megaphone the last Philadelphia Eagles home game demanding some sort of movement on this process. And believe it or not, the Lakers to win the title are just 15-1 right now.
Yeesh.
Only six teams with better odds, if you can believe that.
Wow. See, I mean, that's
the Nets,
that's
the Warriors, the Bucks, the Suns, the Jazz, and the Heat.
That is the power of LeBron James right there. And it's kind of hard to argue with it considering how many times he's gotten to the finals, whether he wins there, whether he wins when he gets there or not. But now, are those
Are those the odds to win the championship?
Yeah.
So it's not just make the finals. It's win it all.
Yeah, it's win it outright.
Well, I will not be spending my money that way.
Lakers just 8-1 to win the Western Conference.
Good luck on that.
Yeah.
Well, it just shows you where people put their money. Rick, though, going back to just the Lakers roster, say they did want to jettison Russell Westbrook. Where would you actually find a suitor for that contract?
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. It's you know, he's already been in Houston. It's usually, you know, somebody's trash is somebody else's treasure.
The Knicks, maybe the Knicks.
No, because you know what? Scott Perry is still the GM there, and he was in Oklahoma City for a time when Russ was there. So
yeah, but if he's there hanging out with Thibodeau, I'll buy popcorn. I'll go to the Garden.
Yeah. Oh, you know what? You talk about a guy who would drive Tom Thibodeau crazy. Wow. Russ Westbrook would be right at the top of the list. Oh my goodness! Because he's all about take care of the ball, be smart with your possessions, defend. Russ Westbrook's not fitting into the Tom Thibodeau.
Can we just send them to
Tom
Brooklyn?
Tom Thibodeau. You got me mixed up now. It's Tibbs.
Yeah. Tibbs and Fibs. Yeah.
Yeah.
Can we just send them to Brooklyn for the hell of it? Just for the hell of it. Just to...
Oh, you know. Why not? Yeah. Why not? It is. Yeah.
What the hell happens in the Eastern Conference? Is it Milwaukee's to lose?
Yeah, you know what? That's what you were just talking about odds. And I looked at the odds today, again, for this piece, and I was shocked to see that there are three teams that have better odds to win the championship than the Milwaukee Bucks. The Suns, the Warriors, and the Nets are all have better odds. And as I look at the Bucks, I mean, I think they're in an ideal situation. I've never seen a defending championship team that has been able to fly under the radar as much as this one. You know, they every time they need to prove what they can do, they go out and they beat the Nets, they beat the Warriors, and then they've downshifted against some teams they shouldn't lose against, so they're fourth or fifth in the Eastern Conference. If this was the Lakers or almost any other team, it was a defending champ, the Warriors, and they were the fifth seed, people would be like, "What the hell's going on? What's wrong with Budenholzer? Giannis Antetokounmpo is a fraud." I mean, people would be going nuts. And I don't hear any of that. And I think that's a huge benefit for the Milwaukee Bucks because they can just kind of roll through this season and then without having to answer or address any of that through the course of the season and then roll into the playoffs. And I just when I look at the way they're playing, the way Bobby Portis has grown, the way Giannis is playing, the additions that they've made with Grayson Allen and Pat Connaughton stepping up, I think the Bucks are even better than they were last year, and I thought they were pretty good.
Yeah, but Rick, they're only a half game out of being like a six seed. They would play Brooklyn in the first round, as you mentioned. They just beat Brooklyn, but how great of a first round matchup would that be against Brooklyn, huh?
It would be, but I don't know. Maybe I'm just, you know, I like difficult situations. I'm praying that the Nets have the number one seed. And that they end up playing the Toronto Raptors, and Kyrie Irving has to sit the entire series as a result of that. But I, you know what? I don't know if that makes me a bad person, but I would be in. Actually, what I really want is the potential of that, and then see what the Nets do as a result. Whether they start tanking in order to avoid that situation.
So much excitement ahead. Yeah, absolutely. We're just getting into it with the NBA. The article coming up, foxsports.com. See him on all the Fox digital work, FS1, of course. And you can find him on Twitter, at Rick Bucher, R-I-C-B-U-C-H-N-E-R, obviously. And then the podcast as well. He's everywhere and just starting to roll up the sleeves because this Lakers stuff on this road trip is going to get fun, Rick.
It certainly is, you know, and there are no easy answers. They can fire. Obviously, it's a matter of when, not if, that Frank Vogel gets fired. But I don't know anybody who's capable of coming in and coaching this team and making a significant difference. So that's going to be part two. See who gets to come in and take the bag from Frank Vogel. Because good luck with that.
Yeah, write the piece on Phil Jackson. I'll wait.
Phil Jackson, Mark Jackson, Steven Jackson, Jim Jackson. I mean, you could put the Jackson 5 together, and it might have a better chance than this Warriors team right now.
That's my guy, Rick Bucher. Thanks for hanging out with us, Rick. I hope the vacation was restful because it's time to get after it.
Thanks, Rick.
You got it, guys. Thank you.
Take care, buddy.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon weekdays at 10 p.m. Eastern, 7 p.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and the iHeartRadio app.
Welcome back in. It's Fox Sports Radio, The Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon. Arnie Spanier in for Jason Smith tonight. Cruising along with you, watching the final 2 minutes of overtime here. Indiana and Golden State tied at 1:15, Arnie.
Wow.
It's a barn burner.
I have the UCLA game on. I didn't even know that game was getting close.
Oh, yeah. See, that's just it. You get to picture in picture. Maybe you get an extra screen.
Picture,
I don't know. I'm
picture,
sure.
That's so, what, 1990s?
I don't know. I mean, multi.
Picture in picture.
Well, look, I mean, not everybody could afford multiple devices like you.
Yeah.
Where you got, you know, walls of TV and phones right into those Vegas casinos to lay down your action.
That's
I know
true.
How you operate.
That's true. Picture in picture. But, wow, what a comeback for them. Yeah, Golden State hitting on, what are they, 1-4 in their last five? Is that what they were or what?
Yeah, they're having their issues. Obviously, Indiana, part of the great Lakers conversation. Now a three-point lead after a big shot. Now 128 remaining. Watching this down to the wire like they are in the arena. Certainly plenty of folks in the Las Vegas sports books. Yeah, and that's a reminder. We're brought to you by one of our favorite cities. It is Las Vegas.
Oh,
your home for live
Vegas
sports. And that means all sports. Every game, match, race, competition. It is always on. Now, go and plan your trip at visitlasvegas.com to see the best and brightest in Vegas, the greatest arena on earth. Where Arnie Spanier should be going with all his guys with the goofy nickname names and acting the fool. Instead, he's going to do nothing but twiddle his thumbs.
We're going to go out there in April, I think. Yeah.
My
buddy Keg couldn't make it, and Keish couldn't make it, and Resin couldn't make it, and it was just too much. Just
Resin, Keg, and Keish. All right, obviously we have to ask, how did Keish get his name?
That's a whole nother show. That's a whole nother show.
Oh, that's a chapter in the book or something.
Yeah, read it in the book. Yeah, we'll be coming out in the book.
Yeah. Hey, you know, the stinking genius. Why not?
We'll come out on the 30 for 30. So there,
is that all it's going to take?
Yeah,
I figured
awesome.
You'd have more stories than that,
yeah,
from your
exactly.
years in the media world. At Stinking Genius 1 is where you find him on Twitter. Find me over at Swollen Dome. A big loss tonight for the Memphis Tigers, 70-62, the defeat to SMU, and it's their third straight loss. And you look at the way their season's run, 5-0 to start things, then 1-4, 4-1, a couple of games postponed due to COVID, and then number of players missing for COVID. So now they've lost 3 in a row. And being asked, you know, how to find some level of their play, even things out, and get back in their winning ways. Coach Anthony Hardaway, you remember him all those years ago playing alongside Shaquille O'Neal, coaching, and, well, the frustration boiled over.
I think the one thing I can say to this media, because this media gets kind of up sometimes when it comes to me. We don't have our full roster. Y'all know we don't have our full roster. Stop asking me stupid questions about if I feel like I can do something. If I had my roster like they did, then I feel like I can do whatever I want to do. I'm coaching really hard. My boys are playing really hard. I'm not embarrassed about nothing. We have 4 freshmen starting. Y'all need to act like it. Act like we got 17, 18, and 19-year-olds out here trying to learn how to play against 22, 23, and 24. Year old guys. Come on, man. Stop disrespecting me, bro. Like, don't do that. I work too hard. I work way too hard for that. Y'all write all these articles about me, and all I do is work. We got young kids on the floor. They got young kids on the floor.
What do you think of that, Arnie?
I mean,
SMU did start five seniors tonight, so raising his hand to make that point.
He made it like it was all about him. He should have said, stop disrespecting my team, is what he really should have said. He's right, though. Last year, they didn't make the NCAA tournament. They got off to a slow start. They made the NIT. Well, they won the NIT. But, you know, it was kind of like an open-ended question where, what do you want him to say? What kind of question is, have you lost faith in your team? Are you embarrassed by your team's performance? I mean, nothing's good going to come out of a question like that. You just want to go off like that so you can get yourself a soundbite. I think it's a ridiculous question. You could have been more productive. I think they were just trying to push him over the top. He didn't have to go off like that, but I think that's what the question, that's what you got. That's the type of response you wanted, and you got it.
Yeah, I mean, every now and again, right, you've got a mounting pile of articles and sound bites, and if you're driving around, maybe you're hearing, you know, the local radio and chirping about it a little bit, and then you finally get a chance to unload, and you just unload, right?
Oh, he's been frustrated for a while. He's got injuries, kids out with COVID.
Sure, and the preseason number 12, and just the unevenness of this, as I laid out their record, 9-8.
Could be worse. He could be Michigan, so there you go there, but well, whatever.
Well, plenty of teams that really thought things were going to break the other way for them this year. But a guy that let off some of that frustration, we'll see how it plays. But to your point, yeah, you could have been more constructive with the answer. But, you know, every once in a while, it feels good to just let go, doesn't it, Arnie?
Yeah, doesn't it? You still should have said, it's not about me, it's about my team. Stop disrespecting my team, instead of saying, stop disrespecting me.
Very fatherly advice from you.
Thank you.
Done.
Thank you.
Hey, coming up next, we got a team playing in division play in the NFL this weekend. They're changing the game, and we'll tell you how next.